So how stressed are the banks? Secretary Geithner, do you think we're going to find out on Thursday?
To get through this and try to resolve that uncertainty and restore basic confidence in the strength of these, you have to start by doing a careful assessment of how large those losses may be.
That's Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner talking about the so-called stress tests for the big banks on the Charlie Rose Show back on March 10th. Well, they've done their careful assessment, but they've delayed several times giving us the results of those assessments. How significant are they, especially as there are some glimmering signs that possibly the bottom has been reached in certain sectors of the economy and things are beginning to turn around in certain places? Peter Morici joins us, economist and professor at the Robert H. Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland. He joins us from his home in Virginia. I guess, Peter, you're about to get on the Beltway and head up to University of Maryland there?
Actually, I'm going to give a speech to the American Foundry Society at noon. Is here to, I guess, meet with, you know, go up to on the Hill and lobby and so forth.
All right. Well, congratulations. I hope you tell them some good news, because some of your forecasts suggest that there is some good news in the economy. My first question to you is, have we passed the point where the health of the banks is, as we've been told, central to the health of the broad economy?
Oh, the health of the banks remains a critical issue. I mean, we need to keep a very watchful eye, because with a lag, we're going to see the effect of store closures at places like Circuit City. You know, they're now vacating their storefronts. Those guys can't pay their rent. So the guys who own the stores can't pay their mortgages, and banks will start writing down those loans in the summer. So there's going to be new bank losses this summer. That doesn't mean the economy can't and isn't turning around by fall or winter. But it is yet something else to watch.
How much is this stress test story, and we've been told that we're going to get the results on Thursday, but again, it's been delayed a few times, as I mentioned. How much is this story solely about Bank of America and Citigroup?
No, it's not just about Bank of America and Citigroup. They're testing the 19 largest banks against a scenario in which housing prices continue to fall through the end of next year and unemployment continues to rise through next year. That's a rather severe scenario, and they're going to assess their need for paid-in common shares or the very best capital that banks hold to back up loans. And several regional banks, because of the commercial real estate problems, will be found wanting and told to raise capital. The trouble is that's going to be like the scarlet letter, and it's going to make it very difficult for them to raise capital, and especially because the federal government says, well, it would come in with capital if, you know, from the TARP. It would buy common shares. And the last thing after the Chrysler debacle anyone wants is to own shares in a bank that the federal government also owns shares in.
So the issue really, let me just sort of pretend to be a central banker, okay, or not a central banker, but one of these big bank CEOs, all right? So I fail the stress test. Basically, the federal government says to me, you have to go raise capital. At that point, I pick up the phone and say, hi, I need a few billion, just failed the stress test. The federal government pretty much says that I can't make it through the next year. Can you cough up $2 or $3 billion for me? That's a preposterous offer. Is that what you're saying?
Now you understand why Mr. Geithner, by folks like me, is considered a bumbler in Washington. Only a fool would invent a contraption like this.
Well,
he's neither an economist nor a banker. So they were sitting around, talking as the boys do in the dormitory, as the sophomores do, and they come up with this numbskull idea, and they hand it in their term paper, and the president approved it. And, you know, now we've got this problem.
So Geithner sort of flunks Morici 303, right?
Well, that's assuming a lot, because he's still back. We're trying to repeat 101 for the fourth time. I mean, this isn't the first, you know, thing he's sort of fumbled up there. You know, but in any case, this is a preposterous situation.
How much does this reflect what might happen with smaller banks? I know that they're not subject to the stress test, but do you have any sense of how the, is anyone trying to predict the equivalent of the stress test on smaller banks, community banks?
Well, this is what regulators do all the time. They do look at the capital adequacy of banks, but they just don't subject them to such severe tests. You see, with smaller banks, if they get in trouble, the FDIC essentially comes in the way the TARP would and reorganizes the assets and sells them to a larger bank. The reason we go through this with larger banks is they are becoming increasingly difficult to sell to other banks. After all, after the Merrill Lynch sale to Bank of America and what the federal government did to Bank of America, if you were a number 12 bank, would you let the federal government sell you number 18? So, you know, the federal government's trying to avoid situations where it might have to reorganize and sell a bank to another bank.
But in that scenario, it's always you aggregate upward, that the combined bank is going to be bigger than the constituent parts. And how does that jive with this call by economists in various sorts of congressional hearings that we can't allow these banks to get bigger and bigger? Their very size is really the problem. The federal government seems to be in the business of making
size. The top eight banks are really too big. You know, they're like 60% of the marketplace. The smaller banks down the ladder, they're very tiny. Combining them actually makes them stronger and better able to compete with the big banks. A lot of the problem with these very small banks that get into trouble is they're not diversified enough in terms of where their loans are. So, you know, there's really big banks that are a problem, and there are really small banks that are a problem. You know, it's like car companies. You can't be too small, but you can't be too big either, or you get, get too bureaucratic.
Well, Peter, I'm going to let you go, but let me just get a yes or no from you. Do you buy this federal stress test scenario that unemployment and rises through the end of the year and housing prices decline through the end of the year?
Through the end of next year? No.
You don't. Okay, so you're rosier than that. Peter Morici, thanks so much for joining us, economist and professor at the Robert H. Smith School of Business at the University of Maryland.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Love bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.